home. If the zoning is not changed, the lot will remain vacant forever. So I'm requesting that the commissioners change the zoning from R10 to R7. As I said before, Block 1 is the only block in all of West Portland Park that is zoned R10. And most of the lots are between 5,000 and 8,000 square feet. And city planners have told me that the lot sizes are more consistent with an R7 or even R5 zoning than R10.
What's the size of your lot?
The lot of our size is 6,850 square feet.
Okay. And it was 10840?
Yes.
Southwest 55th?
Yes.
And was this taken to the Planning Commission?
No, this is a new amendment request.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Gina Vanderbush. I'm also speaking for 10840 Southwest 55th Avenue. My father, Dean Vanderbush, and I, as you just heard, purchased a piece of property in West Portland Park, hoping to build a house on it. Unfortunately, because Block 1 is zoned R10, we cannot build. I am requesting that you change the zoning in Block 1 from R10 to R7 so that we can build a home. I would like to also emphasize the huge impact building a home will have on my life. I am 25 years old. I am an Oregon State grad and have been a Portland resident since 2016. This piece of property is an opportunity for me to invest in my future and stand on my own 2 feet. My father and my father before him have built homes for their families, and it's a tradition for us to do this once or twice in our lifetime. I would like to continue this tradition and settle down in Portland. Building a home on this property would be a life achievement for me. Generally speaking, previous generations were able to save money, buy a home, and create a family and future on their own. Now it's different. People my age cannot buy a home without going into crippling debt. It is very difficult for most people in metropolitan areas with an average salary to save money for a home because of high rent prices. Our lot is within the urban growth boundary, and developing on it would be consistent with urban growth principles of keeping commerce, transportation, and housing within city limits. As a person who holds a degree in natural resources and soil science, I understand the development, the effects that development has on the environment. We're not asking for any open land to be developed. It's already an existing lot. We're not asking for any financial help or services either. I appreciate your consideration of my request. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, you haven't owned another lot in this area?
No.
Previous. This is the only lot you own?
Yes.
And what's the cross street?
It's Southwest 55th Avenue, and there's a private access road that allows access for the property. It's this little block right here. Here's Highway 5. And there's a little alleyway, a private drive that allows access for these lots.
Okay, I'll look into it.
Right, thank you.
Thank you both. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Lou Montgomery. I'm here representing some property owners that have property at 6416 North Greeley Avenue. This is their property here, and these are proposed zone change to CM1. So their lot is directly abutting commercial and also directly across the street from commercial property. They've been in the Portland community for over 50 years now. They've raised their family here. Palmer, the owner, grew up on North Webster Street. His father, he's very proud of his father being a Portland police officer for 17 years. His fiance's family grew up in St. John's. So like I said, I'm asking that this property be changed to the CM1, the mixed use. Some of the characteristics of the CM1 is that it is a commercial mixed-use zone. It's normally in areas where they have a lower density, and this property currently is R5. Most of the buildings they expect to be about 3 stories tall. And I looked on the Greeley Street Corridor study, and it's really interesting to see that under the categories at the bottom of that study, it shows that 0% of mixed-use commercial and residential is in this corridor. This is also about 1.5 miles from the University of Portland. So what the owners are hoping to do is to develop this property with doing affordable living upstairs and the mixed-use commercial downstairs. They thought, or at the main level. they thought that that could be, you know, possibly student housing and also more affordable housing for anybody that lives in this area. So we really appreciate your consideration on this. They plan on staying here. They plan on their kids are getting ready to go to college, and they're hoping to keep this in their family. But they'd really like to see the avenue of being able to turn that into a mixed use. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Next three are Scott Doherty, Gary Okamoto, and Gary Daniels. And they'll be followed by Julie Cantonwine, Mae Smith, and Rich Rogers.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start, sir?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Scott Doherty, and I'm here representing 1809 Northwest Davis Street at the corner of Northwest 18th Avenue. I'm here to request that the council consider a comprehensive plan and zoning map change for a quarter block property located at 1809 Northwest Davis. The property is currently used as a dental office and a surface parking lot. The comprehensive plan change, it would be proposed from high-density multi-dwelling to mixed-use urban center, and the zone map change would be from RH to CM3. The property is owned by my father, John Doherty. The dental practice occupying the office space was owned by my father until 2017 when I purchased it from him. We're a third-generation family dental practice serving the Portland area for 75 years with over 40 years in our current location. Our central location with easy access and on-site parking are extremely important assets to the business. Moving locations would create a significant hardship on the existing dental practice in the form of downtime and access for our patients if we move out of our central location. The current RH zone limits our long-term growth prospects and presents significant barriers to our ability to expand our business at this location. And in addition, if the building were to be lost to a catastrophic event, our current zoning would make it difficult or impossible to rebuild the dental office as it exists currently. The proposed CM3 zone would allow the office building and Doherty Dental, the practice, to be permitted outright. Lastly, the 20,000 square foot surface parking lot abutting my father's property to the west, owned by Trinity Cathedral, due to our longstanding mutually beneficial relationship when it comes to parking during the week and on the weekends, we have ongoing discussions related to coordinated redevelopment of both properties with potential for medical office space and shared parking structure. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Okamoto. Thank you for listening to my testimony, City Commissioners and Mayor Wheeler.
Thanks for being here.
I'd like to bring your attention today to focus on a property at 5505 Southeast 28th Avenue, right across from Reed College in the Eastmoreland area. Earlier last year when I received some notices about the need in Portland for expanded industrial areas, I guess that's the comprehensive plan, I saw how it impacted my property, and in this case, the property is underdeveloped or not developed, and so at the western side of 67 feet of it, it's undeveloped, so I didn't think too much of it at the time. However, in talking to Marty Stockton earlier this year about expanding some potential commercial or residential activities or buildings on the property, I was told that the existing store, that's a kind of a fruit and vegetable store, is in fact a non-conforming situation. And hearing that, I contacted the store operator, Mr. Daniels here, and told him about this concern of non-conforming status. Currently, the site is residential too. And my request today is for the City Council to consider changing the zoning from R2 to CM1. A little bit of history. The property, I purchased it from my grandparents' estate 6 years ago. They first purchased the property in 1949 and have operated the Moreland Market at that site for the last 40 years. Afterwards, Mr. Daniels has been operating, continuing to operate that store under the name Very Good Produce. And so we'd like to, first of all, request the CM1 change so that Mr. Daniels can viably operate his business and continue to do so for him, his wife, and his son, and for me to also be in conformance with current zoning, and also in the future to consider food cart or it's sort of a short-term goal, because right now there's sporadic food carts in the industrial zones that under the comprehensive plan in that specific area. There's enough property there, 1 acre, that could have food courts or food trucks. Plus, in the near future, my plan, based upon the requirement of investment, could actually help solve Portland's issues with low-income housing, college student housing, since it's next to Reed College, and also housing for senior citizens like my mother. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir, and perfect timing. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Daniels, and he covered all of my testimony. But I was just going to add that in 1928, in May, Giuseppe Palena tried to get this changed because he started the fruit tent. So it's actually been in operation for 90 years. And not only is it for my benefit to, you know, support my family, the community seems to really appreciate that you can get produce from the local farmers brought into Portland. So that's just my main thing, and I would like to keep operating it. And I didn't realize that we were on a revocable permit after 90 years, but evidently we still are. So,
Commissioner Fritz.
Have you visited the Neighborhood Association to ask for their support?
Not yet, but I mean, essentially, we're basically an island because there's the Ravelli's, which is next to the golf course, Eastbourne Golf Course, and then everything else is Reed College.
Yeah, I just would encourage you to, you know, look at the Neighborhood Association, put it on Portland Maps, and it'll tell you what the Neighborhood Association, and just go talk with them, because when we come back to vote on these things, it goes a lot better if the Neighborhood Association supports the proposal, and it sounds like this is a valued institution, so I certainly would appreciate getting a letter from them saying that they support it.
So for clarification, that would be the Eastmoreland Neighborhood Association, or that would be Reed College?
It would be the Neighborhood Association. So if you go to portlandmaps.com, it'll tell you what your Neighborhood Association is for that address if you just dive it in. And
Marty said she'd give you all the skinny on it.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, gentlemen. Next three, please.
The next three are Julie Cantonwine, and it'll be Mac and Penelope Smith. And they'll be followed by Rich Rogers, Jeff Carr, and Jason Leonard.
Very good. Good afternoon. Would you like to start, please?
Sure. I'm here in support of Mr. Okamoto. A couple months ago, I decided to come back from Maryland and do business in Portland. I've been doing business in Portland for the last couple of decades, and I'm a chef, and I wanted to open a restaurant in Portland, and financially, it's going to be a little bit out of reach. And so in order to bring our Cuban hand pie bowl cart using fresh ingredients and fresh food ingredients, and to be able to open that right next to the Very Good Produce stand, actually be a wonderful place to do business, because we do support local farmers, and we locally source our food and our produce and our meats. So I'm in here to support Mr. Okamoto and Mr. Gary with the food produce stand, because I think it's a great idea, and it's a great area. It's right across the street from Reed College. And I love the story behind how the land became, and the whole story about how this produce stand has been operating on this revocable, you know, thing for 90 years. It really should stay there. It is definitely a community staple there. So that's all.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Mac Smith. I'm talking about the 2125 Northwest 33rd Avenue and in Willamette Heights. There is a buffer zone there, and they're talking about coming closer within 10 feet of that particular property. I live a couple houses up. This issue was settled at one time before. in the 90s, and because they were going to put a truck stop there, which would include a lot of pollution, et cetera. I am a chemist, and I've worked with all the state and local labs on air quality and water, et cetera. This is a geologically unstable hillside. It has silt at 7 and 11 feet, and it had a landslide that closed the St. Helens Highway in the 50s. It separates our particular 100-year-old neighborhood from becoming an annex of the industrial zone. Changing the buffer designation puts us in the same visual, auditory, and environmental hazard as if we lived right in the industrial zone. There's three springs that are on the west side of the street, and they've been there for years. And there's also a spring on the eastern side of that particular property. There's also a sewage opening that is cleaned out on a regular basis. So there's a lot of things going on. The present buffer zone being kind of, it has, I would say,
trees.
It has trees, it has bushes, it has everything that's there. It's not a very stable piece of property and would require quite a bit of work. I guess I'm worried about, as a chemist, I'm worried about the pollution and et cetera. They have some, right now they have quite a few places that repair trucks along the way, and this would probably include something of that nature. They were thinking about a truck stop where they would do fueling, repair, et cetera. And I just wish you would reconsider this. It would disturb a lot of things in that particular area.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Penelope Smith, and Mac is my husband, and I'm representing the Willamette Heights Association. We're very concerned about this area because the present buffer zone barely keeps out the noise from St. Helens Road, including trains and the commercial noise from other side of the road and the road itself. There would be more noise pollution from business and from St. Helens Road with less of a buffer zone if that was developed, which it would be very hard to develop because it has so many creeks running through it, and it has lots and lots of vegetation, a lot of wildlife uses that area, and environmentally it would be kind of a disaster if that was really developed. And it would really lower the value of our homes if it was put into a development where it was a commercial business that added a lot of pollution. If the business would have anything to do with diesel repair or truck stoppages, there will be a tremendous amount of pollution with or without the buffer zone. The value of our houses would take a full hit with all of the above houses I have mentioned. Whomever wants to build there could care less. We kind of feel this is more about money, and we can't understand why anybody would want to develop that with all that's going on in that area, and it's such a steep incline, we don't know how they would be able to do it without building a huge wall, which would not really prevent a landslide because it's such a steep incline. So that is our concern, and we'd like you to reconsider that, keeping the buffer zone that's there presently and has been there. And this was settled in the 90s, and now it's come up again that somebody wants to develop that area. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate all three of you.
Thank you.
The next three are Rich Rogers, Jeff Carr, and Jason Leonard. And they'll be followed by Larissa Zimmerman, Mel Hatsos, and Christopher Rosing.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start,
afternoon,
sir?
Thank you. I'm Jason Leonard. I just found out about this a couple hours ago, so I don't have much prepared. But I own the building on 3587 Northeast Prescott Street. It's an old grocery store building built in the 20s. And from the 70s until I bought it in 2013, it was run by an upholstery business. And now I run my poster restoration business out of it. It's the Afish Studio and Gallery. And the reason I found out about this is I'm in the middle of a land use review. I'm trying to expand on top. And it was brought up that potentially it could be up for rezoning, so I got in under the wire a couple hours ago. I think it makes sense to change it from non-conforming to a CR. I just learned about CR today, but I did a little research, and basically just anything I do in there as a non-conforming status is very tricky. And I just, it's always been a commercial building. It's a unique spot in the neighborhood. You know, I spent a lot of time and energy restoring it. It's a unique thing in the neighborhood, and I just think for even for the future, it makes sense to have a conforming status.
So I don't remember what CR is. What kind of use do you want to have to be allowed on it?
Well, now I'm forgetting a little bit, but it's basically commercial residential mixed use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I mostly just run my private studio out of there, but sometimes do gallery events. And I'd like to do more for the neighborhood. Everybody that talks to me about the building wishes more was happening in there. Just you know, they like the building. And I think it would make things easier for the expansion I'm doing, too. Just non-conforming is a very tricky thing to go through the land use review. But,
So the just straight CR zoning doesn't come with a specific height limit. The its building height is intended to be compatible with the scale of surrounding residentially zoned areas. So how high are those surrounding?
Everything in a block radius is a older two-story house. But beyond that, there's a lot of new development that is definitely 30 feet, a lot of new construction. So this is what I've been running into with the land use review because I was just under the assumption that 30 feet, I could do 30 feet, so I've been designing it based on that. But they say that it's too high, even though it's the allowable height. So I've been trying to bring it back down to around 22, which would be the size of a two-story house.
This is, I'm familiar with this property and with Afish Studios, and it is an interesting just little anomaly in this neighborhood along Prescott. There aren't a lot of commercial opportunities, so.
And Prescott is a pretty major thoroughfare, and it really could have been like a lot of these other pockets, like 30th and Killingsworth, where it ended up being a four-corner business. I mean, it's an old brick building. The house next to it, actually, the guy who lives there, his grandparents built that house and this building. So I'm friends with him. But he's told me a lot about the history of it. But, yeah, for whatever reason, it just became a one-building corner. But Prescott right there gets a lot of traffic, and it's kind of this walkable thoroughfare to Wilshire Park. So I get a lot of foot traffic. And it's just always been known. It's been there for 90 years. So
I would suggest you contact Marty Stockton and have a chat with her about specifically what the right zone would be. And again, as I've said to other people, going to the Neighborhood Association, since you just thought about it, it would be good to get their support before the next, before we make our decision.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jeff Carr. I'm the CEO of Albertina Kerr, and I'm here to support Commissioner Fish's amendment related to our property. We have a historic property that we are, which is our headquarters in Northeast Portland at 424 Northeast 22nd. And during the new plan that was developed, our historic property was upgraded to CM3 zone, and we have two parcels at 2307 Northeast Flanders that is a parking lot and a thrift store. And we operate it all as, and it's been there for since 1920s, pretty much as its own campus. And so the two parcels that are not a part of the historic building parcel were remaining R1. And so we would like to have those consistently zoned, all CM3. And the reason that's important, we didn't realize this was all happening until we were looking into actually how we're going to restore our building. And we are presently in the process of developing 120 units of affordable housing for our workforce to try and really target low-wage workers in our campus on 162nd with between Halsey and Gleason. And so we would love to have the opportunity to actually consider developing this property in the future to increase the stock of affordable housing for workforce folks in our community. So we would respectfully hope you'll support the commissioners.
Colleagues, I'm new to this conversation, and some people that we respect, really highly regard in the community, have started to think about this. And the concept that really has drawn me in is that we have nonprofit providers in our community that are land rich and are currently having trouble recruiting people for certain positions because of the housing market. And the idea that Albertina Kerr and others are thinking about is, what if we leveraged the land on our campus to build affordable housing so that we were able to offer someone not just a job, but a place to live that's also conveniently located? There are a multitude of nonprofit entities that are in the same situation where they're competing for a workforce that's being pushed out of the community that are rich in land. And it seemed to me that it's a very big discussion that we ought to start engaging. I can't think of a better synergy with our climate action goals and many of our other values to have, these developments on site. Now, there's some legal issues they're going to have to work out. I don't know how the Fair Housing Act applies. I don't know. You know, there are specific legal provisions that say you can build senior housing only for and therefore restricted to seniors. I don't know about employers building housing that's then deemed a benefit that they offer employees. That's a legal question. But I do think the concept of leveraging that resource and then having people live and work in close proximity is brilliant. And I hope it's something that we can find a way to support. And Albertina Kerr is sort of in the front of the line in the queue in terms of wanting to test this assumption.
Well, and I appreciate that, Commissioner. We actually, our goal is to test this on our campus out in Gresham. I mean, I wish we were on the east side of 162nd. We'd be technically in the city, but on our Gresham campus. And we actually got a planning grant from the Meyer Memorial Trust specifically to bring together five of the six largest nonprofit human service organizations in Oregon who are all struggling with the same issue. And we're in the process of identifying the parts of our property through this grant that could be available for housing. And actually, I had a meeting yesterday. You were talking about churches yesterday. There are six Methodist churches that gave me their property addresses. And so with the partnership with Gerding Edlin, we are looking at all of these parcels and looking at what we think we could actually develop in terms of the numbers of units of affordable housing and essentially use our land that we own outright as equity to put into the deals and then figure out how to use a combination of low-income tax credits and traditional financing and then find equity financing that would enable us to bridge that gap to build really targeted workforce housing.
By the way, just one last comment. There are plenty of employers in town that, as part of a recruitment strategy, offer incentives where they will help people with down payments if they want to buy a home, other kinds of things. I will tell you that when my wife got out of graduate school and was thinking about her first teaching job, one of the questions that she asked employers was, does it come with any housing on the campus? Is there family-friendly housing? And employers increasingly that can answer yes to that are in a more competitive position. So I think the concept is really worthy of exploring.
Well, we surveyed our 700-plus employees and got a 44% response rate, over 300 responses. 60% of the people that we surveyed just kind of said, we're thinking about doing this. 60% of our employees said, if you did it, we really would like to take advantage of it. So it really demonstrated to our board that there's a significant need out there amongst our low-wage employees.
And this is R12 what?
Our historic building is CM3.
R1 to CM3.
And so it's R1 to CM3. Yeah.
And am I correct in that it doesn't seem there's no minimum or maximum density associated with the commercial mixed use? So we can give the zoning, but we can't compel a minimum density?
Yeah. You're asking the wrong person. I did talk to Marty about this.
We can take it offline. It's just interesting because the residential zoning does come with maximum. I'm just curious. curious how many we can squeeze
on. It's my understanding what we could develop right now on the parking lot. We can't use the CM3 zoning for our historic building because we can't knock it down. And,
right.
So it's really worthless on that property. But if we switch from R1 to CM3 on the parking lot in the other thrift store building, I believe it goes from enabling us to build about 19 units of a housing upwards of 277, depending on probably a little less than that based on the setbacks and things like that.
But you're not going to get rid of the thrift store, are you?
We certainly have loyal thrift store shoppers, and
my
so
family
we're not suggesting we're going to rid ourselves.
I think I hear a friendly amendment.
I could be convinced of
approval. Yeah. All right, I'm going to save this and move us along.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Rich. How are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today. I'm Rich Rogers with Community Development Partners. We are affordable housing developers. We have a portfolio of around 1,200 units spread over 15 communities, and we have about 600 more actively in the pipeline here in Portland today. I'm here to talk about a couple of parcels right across the street from each other on Mallory in Northeast Alberta. The addresses are 126 Northeast Alberta and then 126W/I Northeast Alberta, which is the parking lot attached to the Abbey across the street. The staff report refers to one of them. Our initial request related to both, but I'll speak to both of them quickly. On the parking lot, we're requesting a zone change to CM2. This is a parcel that's a couple blocks off of MLK, a couple blocks off of the Vancouver-Williams couplet. There's a lot of activity there. We feel like this will just stitch that together nicely. We propose this parcel as one of four that residential or mixed-use buildings that include apartments that will encompass 160 units spread along Alberta from Mallory to Northeast 27th, 100% affordable, with affordable commercial space on the ground floor, and thus the request for the mixed-use zoning. We're in talks with BICEP, the Black Investment Corporation for Economic Progress, about managing and hopefully owning the ground floor affordable commercial space so that nonprofits and aspiring business owners can retain and establish and deepen some connection to a community that's been heavily gentrified. The housing will all be aligned with the city's north-northeast preference policy. And essentially, we need the CM2 zone change to both make the affordable commercial work and in order for our pro forma to pencil out on the total 160-unit project across the four sites. The other site that we're requesting a zone change on is right across the street. That's the former Mallory Avenue Baptist Church. It's now the Alberta Alley. We own that as well. It's been functioning for a few years as a kind of community arts hub, providing affordable art space and performance space for a variety of tenants. Our intent is to move our small offices into it, but breathe more life into it so that it better fulfills its mission of providing affordable art space. Our request there is simply that the zoning be made a community facility. It's a historic church that was built in the 40s. We're going to apply for historic tax credits and fix it up under that rubric and keep the historic nature of the facility, but hopefully continue to use it and breathe more life into it as a community space. We anticipate using it as a location for resident services for the residents of our community, providing college-age arts instruction as well as performance space for the community at large.
Great. Thank you, all three of you. Appreciate it.
The next three are Larissa Zimmerman, Mel Halfsas, and Christopher Rosing. And they'll be followed by Miles Sisk, Barry Smith, and Silas Beebe.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start?
Hello. I don't know. I'm nervous.
Don't be.
Good afternoon. My name is Larissa Zimmerman, and I'm here to oppose map change number 1799, Fremont, Mississippi, zone changing from CM2 to CM3. I'm not here representing anybody but myself, but I am a poor resident of Portland, Oregon, with family roots going back multiple generations on both sides here in the state of Oregon. I've worked low-paying service jobs my entire life, and So when I was able to finally purchase my own house about 15 years ago when they were throwing loans at people that probably shouldn't have been able to get them, I was not surprised that I was able to buy in the Albina neighborhood, Boyce technically, but Mississippi. That area has been traditionally low-income housing simply because of the historical institutions of racism that date back to the redlining that occurred after the Vanport flood and exodus. And I would just ask that you all please keep in mind that visionary plans about the future of Portland have often been experienced by this neighborhood of North and Northeast Portland as acts of violence. The I-5 development in the early 60s, Memorial Coliseum, the expansion of Emanuel Hospital, basically one piece at a time destroyed what was a thriving African-American commercial neighborhood. There was also urban renewal in the 1960s, removing houses that were deemed blighted, neglect by law enforcement and investors, so that black-owned residents were unable to actually invest in their own properties. So I moved into this neighborhood and discovered that what I now understand is I was part of the first wave of white gentrification. Black families are leaving and are now busing their children in to attend the Boyce Elliott Grade School from out in the numbers. So what is being done to keep diversity, to keep this neighborhood a place where people like myself or people who have been there longer than I have, who can't compete economically with the development that is actually happening all around us. And just to bring it back to the particular parcels of land, they currently contain a low-income housing complex, which, as John Ross pointed out, are good neighbors, and a single-family home that is a rental property. And that woman who lives in that house has already been given her eviction notice. They're planning on selling the property. The low-income housing is going to go away. I would love to see more low-income housing in my neighborhood, and I really would prefer not to have a seven-story high-rise condo at the end of my block. There's going to be one across the street. They're in the process of building it. But in that transition phase, it would be nice if it just stepped down a little before you got to the one-story houses like the one I live in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have a couple questions. So this is currently R25. It was previously recommended for CM2, and now we're moving to CM3. Did I get that right?
That's my understanding, but yes. I'm not good at this planning talk.
So the current owner of that affordable housing development is PCRI? But you said that the affordable housing was going to go away. Are you saying that's their intent to sell
it? My understanding is they intend to sell the property and put in, at this point, I believe it's four stories. And then the CM3 would allow them to take it as high as seven if they meet
certain conditions. All right, that was my confusion, because earlier testimony stated that PCRI doesn't intend to build to the full height allowance of CM3, so I was just wondering who was lobbying for CM3 versus CM2, but I guess we'll find out from the Planning Bureau.
Thank you for your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to all of you. My name is Mel Hafsis. My partner and I own a property over in Southeast Portland, 1135 Southeast 80th Avenue in Montevilla, Mount Tabor. And what we have is a business residential, zoned residential right now. It's a grocery store, small neighborhood grocery store that has been in existence since the early 1920s. It has been operating as a grocery store from that time to even today. And what we have is something of an incredible part of our neighborhood that we have recently realized. Some of the words that have been thrown around are relic, Mayberry, fictional community, and even the statement, inevitable forces that are at work. As you see, we have been there for 22 years plus. I am no longer 45 years old. I am no longer completely healthy. and the word gentrification had no meaning to me until it was perhaps on my doorstep, and I realized that, well, perhaps what would be the best thing, not for necessarily us, but for our neighborhood, because we not only work in our neighborhood, but a block away we have a home, what would be best for our neighborhood? And we have asked that, and we have perhaps come to the realization that maybe it is time for us to move into another direction, but what we have is such a gift to the neighborhood that maybe we need to make it something that somebody really wants to hold on to. And I think what that would be is maybe not Mayberry, but perhaps something with a little different classification that would allow a person to carry it to the next step. And we feel that we have been given a gift and being able to stay there for 24 years, but perhaps it is time. But I think with a different zoning and an opportunity to perhaps take it to the next level is something that we need to give thought to, and I would appreciate consideration. And in our 22 years, I just want to say thank you, City of Portland, for allowing us to experience what we've experienced, and the Planning Commission and all the information and the help that they've been. I thank you all. It's been a delight.
Thank you for coming in. Commissioner Fritz.
Just to clarify, what's your zone now and what do you want it to be?
Pardon me?
What is your zoning now and what would you like it to be?
It is R5.
And what would you like it to be?
Well, it's my understanding, according to Marty, that it's RC, I believe, commercial residential.
So whatever.
We have that now. We have a house on the property along with a separate store.
So you're happy with whatever the Planning Commission said it should be. Is that correct?
Well, unsure, but I think what needs to happen is some kind of a definite something so that we know what we can do and what we can't do.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Christopher Rosing. I would like to express my objection to the rezoning of 9131 North Lombard to commercial mixed use. This is change number 1848. I own and live in the 110-year-old bungalow across the street at 9130 North Lombard, and I have for 10 years. The city and Portland Bureau of Transportation Actions have already nearly turned the entire block into a commercial enterprise. My neighbor to the left is already zoned commercial mixed use and has had part of his property confiscated to expand a turn so the semis coming from Rivergate could pass through easier. This reduced his two lots into one, and as he cannot sell his individual lots anymore under city ordinance because they are now too small, he can only sell it to developers at any current market price. Right now, he offers affordable rental housing, but not for long. My neighbor to the right is an apartment complex full of renters who are unlikely to complain to City Hall about zoning differences. Now, the city proposes to rezone the house across the street, which also has as its neighbor an apartment complex, which for 10 years I've seen no one except ethnic minorities and single mothers live in. And between that and the rent law proposals, it seems the city proposes to make it safer for single homeowners to Airbnb rather than rent rooms while simultaneously sacrificing affordable Section 8 and affordable housing to developers one building at a time, reflecting of what she said earlier. So this looks like a back room zoning done from behind a desk with little input and insufficient thought given to the residents of the area. I propose the city rejects the rezoning of 9131 North Lombard, or at least rezones my property, so that I can sell it after you've turned my entire block into the property of corporations and I'm surrounded by antiseptic concrete and glass commercial ventures with an incessant stream of semi-trucks going by because no one will want to live there. Additional note, since I have time, according to the mixed-use urban center designation of the comprehensive plan, the proposed zoning change for number 1848, development will be pedestrian-oriented with a strong emphasis on design and street-level activity. However, thanks to the actions of PBOT, which I believe was over the objections of the St. John's Neighborhood Association, this particular corner is a major thoroughfare for commercial truck traffic from Rivergate, averaging now several hundred semis an hour during business hours. It's one of the least safe intersections in the city for pedestrians. So the definition of the zoning proposal and the actions of PBOT seem to be in direct contradiction to one another, which is further evidence of the lack of foresight and study in this proposal. The main point is the block is a mess. This zoning doesn't make any sense, and I'd like the council to consider it.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Carla, by my count, we're down to the last 10. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Next three are Miles Sisk, Barry Smith, and Silas Beebe. And they'll be followed by Eric Ovala, Stu Smucker, and Sam Noble.
Good afternoon. Would you like to kick us off, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
So my name is Miles, and I'm speaking on 1717 and 1800, the changes around the Hollywood region, and I am in support of keeping those at RH 4.1. For disclosure, I also manage Felicia Williams' campaign for Council Seat 3, just so that's aware, although I'm not going to be speaking on anything related to that today. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about density in that region. As it was mentioned before by a previous testimony, Hollywood is a major transit section in the city, and this is quite frankly exactly the type of place in the city where we should be building higher density housing. But more specifically, I wanted to speak on my concerns about the constant defense of single-family housing in the city. Now, here's my major concern. You on Portland City Council, you're making decisions now that we're going to be living with here in Portland for maybe the next 40, 50, 60 years. And you know, that's why I come here, is there's a very good chance that I'll be here in 40, 50, 60 years from now. And one of the major concerns I see with single-family housing in Portland in general is I view it as being dynasty housing. We're not going to stop seeing growth in Portland. People are not going to stop moving here. It's not just economic factors. It's not just Portlandia. It's not big evil developers. It's climate change. People are being driven to the region. California is a tinderbox. We're not in a bubble. It's not going to pop. Things are only going to keep getting more and more expensive. And I have to ask myself, in 40 years, all these single-family housing units that we're fighting to defend, what are they going to look like? Who is going to live in them? Right now, I only seeing it being one of two types. People that come from out of the city that can afford million-dollar bungalows in North Portland in 20 or 30 years, since the demand's just going to keep driving things up if we don't meet it with supply, or the families of the people who currently own this housing. There's not room for anybody new. There's not new room for anybody young. So I just wanted to express my concern in general with that concept, especially in areas like Hollywood, which are major transit section or major transit oriented places where we should have higher density housing. That's really all I have to say.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, my name is Barry Smith. I'm an architect here in Portland, and I work with a lot of home builders, small developers, and property owners in this space outside Central City and outside some of the plan districts. We've been auditing the 2035 plan and the subsequent changes to the mixed-use zone and the residential zone. And what we've been finding is that when we start adding the modeling that is helping protect neighborhoods from these higher density areas of development, we're not able to capture all of the floor area ratio that's available. We're barely getting to the base zone floor area ratio, and in the mixed use areas, the bonuses all come from inclusionary housing. I submitted testimony to the Planning Commission to look at some areas of the cities where we might use some of the tools in the 2035 plans and overlay zones, like urban corridors and urban centers, like Hollywood, Gleason between 60th and the Gateway District, Stark. I submitted one for 82nd from Woodstock to the southern boundary of the city. And I think we need to revisit the entire Southwest Community Plan again. I think it's really hurt a lot of efforts on that side of town. This is probably, my request is a City Planner Full Employment Act. I support the refinement that's going through, but I think we're going to need to continue to revisit our neighborhoods and start adding tools so we can get things like greater building heights where it's appropriate to capture that space that we can deliver as affordable. We, by the way, are one of the first three projects. We have a project on 54th and Woodstock, which was one of the first three projects in the first round of inclusionary housing approvals. And my clients went through quite a gambit, and the poor folks at the Housing Bureau went through quite an ordeal trying to figure out what to do. And I think it might be good for the council to reach out to some of the people that have gotten inclusionary housing approved and are under construction to ask them how to make the process go faster, smoother. A lot of people are trying to avoid doing this. I think it's the future, particularly when it's tied to bonus densities, where it may not be tied anywhere else, and we ought to figure out a way to capture it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Howdy. I'm Silas Beebe. I'm here to testify about property number 1728, which is 2425 Northwest St. Helens Road. I'm a fifth-generation Portlander. Spent most of my 44 years here in this neighborhood and seen it gone through extensive redevelopment. My family's worked hard to maintain the livability of our beloved neighborhood, city, and region. Myself and dozens of my neighbors who have also testified urge you to retain the buffer designation for the lot or at least provide some sort of amendment, additional overlay protection or conservation easement or something to maintain the protection it offers the many adjacent homes. The site serves as the sole and minimal buffer between homes with many families and children and the air and noise pollution of heavy industry and the highway that are already so close. Removing the buffer overlay allows most kinds of industrial work outside and inside, manufacturing, rail yards, diesel repair, warehousing, chemical treatments, etc., and reduces setbacks down to 0 feet from the back of a residential lot and 5 feet from the side of a lot. And there's a lot of homes right there that would be directly affected if they had manufacturing or industry 0 feet from the back of their lot with families. The specific site and the neighborhood in general have a long history of landslides, and some homes nearby are already condemned because of slides up there on Thurman. There are three small streams running through the site that increase the likelihood of slides and make development more difficult. The city's own Northwest Hills Natural Areas Protection Plan cites the environmental and energy benefits of maintaining the natural habitat on this site, and notes the sighting of many bird and mammal species, and neighbors, like myself, can attest to frequent sightings of animals in this forested strip. See deer, coyotes, skunk, raccoons, pileated woodpeckers, flickers, bald eagles, owls, many more. And the Northwest Hills Natural Areas Protection Plan, I could read a couple of excerpts from that, the environmental consequences section says resource protection of this area would result in positive consequences. These consequences include protection of site as groundwater recharge area, protection of habitat for native wildlife and habitat interspersion with the Balch Creek ecosystem, protection of forest and watershed resource values, including clean water, air pollution, and microclimate amelioration. It's also resource protection result in positive consequences for energy, reduction in industrial and residential energy consumption for heating and cooling systems, transportation, or infrastructure use would result in energy savings. And those were direct quotes from the city's own Natural Areas Protection Plan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Ross Cornelius, Doug Capps, and Eric Ovala. Sorry. And they'll be followed by Stu Smucker, Sam Noble, and Tad Everhart.
Greetings. Welcome.
Thank you. So, Mayor and members of the council, I'm Doug Capps, member at Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, member of a parking study committee, which started this whole process for us that brought us to where we are now. With me is Ross Cornelius. John Spencer is in the audience, available to answer any questions. We're here on number 1821 of the map revision project, or a study or a report. Trinity is located at Northwest 19th between Davis and Everett. It's the main cathedral is. And it has a half-block surface parking lot on Northwest 19th on the east side of 19th. that particular parcel is zoned high density residential today. We need increased parking capacity to accommodate Trinity's growth. So the commercial zoning that would occur in this process will help make it possible to provide and expand services to our membership, to the neighborhood around us, and to the community at large. We're contemplating a mixed-use commercial development with structured parking. I want to mention that we've been in communication with NWDA, the Planning Committee of the Northwest District Association, on this proposed change. We're committed to a collaborative process with the neighborhood to assure that whatever our development plans turn out to be, they will meet the needs of the community. And I also want to mention that we support another request that you heard about earlier of an adjacent property owner, Doherty Dental. Their property is adjacent to this parking lot. They have parking. We share the parking today, back and forth, them to ours during the week, ours to them on the weekend and evenings. And we support that in the event that it will help facilitate a possible joint development with the dental office, since we are contemplating medical offices in the mixed-use project that we're looking at. And with that, I was going to turn it over to Ross just to add a couple of things, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Commissioners. I'm Ross Cornelius, a member of Trinity for over 30 years now. Been working with Doug and a number of the parishioners to try to figure out our parking challenges and how we do that on the currently zoned RH lot across the street. It's been difficult to figure out how to add parking and get the housing built at the same time. I've spent my whole career just about in housing development, affordable housing development, and I'm very keen to that issue. The benefit of the zone change that we're proposing on the half block across the street is that we're currently parked on two other lots that Trinity owns to the east or to the west and to the south that are quarter blocks that are also zoned RH. And those are jammed parking on Sunday mornings. The whole neighborhood down there is very full of parking. And being able to put the parking that we're accommodating on all these different surface lots over into one spot frees up those other lots for future development. And so we're sort of on a phased approach here. We got to solve our parking needs first, but it does allow the opportunity to contemplate further development on Trinity's other sites, which we're very excited about. And Commissioner Fish had mentioned the synergy between the churches and religious institutions in the city and the potential of development. We've heard a lot from our parishioners, particularly elderly parishioners, the need to want and desire to live close. Trinity is a kind of a cultural center as well as a religious institution, and many people who have been there for a long time want to live closer and participate in the rich arts and music and other and food programs that we have. So this would allow us to our first step towards hopefully as a second step providing housing for them as well as potentially for some of the employees of Trinity.
So I'm unclear. It's presently zoned RH. And you're asking it to be rezoned to what?
To CM3 on the half block across from the cathedral.
Great. Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Oyella, and you heard from Dean and Gina Vanderbush earlier today. I'm here to support them in their request for zoning change for this block in West Portland Park subdivision. It's in the Crestwood neighborhood, I believe. And my mother owns a lot nearby or on the same block. And there are a total of seven properties there. Five of them have been built on. These two lots are vacant currently. But with the current zoning being R10, Dean Vanderbush was requesting that it be changed to R7. This would allow these two properties to be built on. This would benefit infill housing. These properties are close to I-5, so they're lower cost, so it's going to be very conducive for first-time home buyers. And originally, this property that my mother owns was buildable. Back in early 1980s, my father purchased it. He was intending